Welcome everyone to episode 41 of the Business of Sport. My name is Ahmed Al-Houli and my co-host, Mr. Rob Yale, joins me on the show as he does every single week. Mr. Rob, how are you, buddy? How's things?
Good, my friend. How are you doing down under?
Really well, thank you. Just, you know, pushing along, trying to keep up with all the latest from the world of sport. It presents us with another action-packed week, as it does almost every single week. Lots to talk about. One that's taken the headline this week, Rob, is the Chief Jets game. And I think for a very different reason to what it would usually take the headlines for. 27 million average viewers. Teen girl viewership up 53%. Most watched game since Super Bowl. Since the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift in the stands.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me they're all Zach Wilson fans. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought until I jumped on X, formerly known as Twitter. So
yeah,
it's madness. You watch the game?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I'm a fan. I watched the game because I had some fantasy some points in that game. So, but yeah, you know, for the second week in a row, we've got the Chiefs in a prime time position. We've got Taylor Swift and her entourage, you know, booking a suite that night. We're talking about Taylor Swift, Ryan Reynolds, Brooke Lively, and Hugh Jackman are in the booth, and I'm more interested.
Wolverine
and Deadpool were there. It has nothing to do with the Swifties, but again, you know, it's a you know, not the conspiracy theorist in me, but if the NFL is looking to, you know, diversify its audience and get its ratings up, that's one hell of a way to do it. And they're certainly accomplishing it. And by the way, a pretty decent game broke out, by the way. Had it not been for a fumbled snap and maybe a questionable pass interference call.
What about the hold?
The hold on the 20-yard run, the pass interference call, there's a few things that
NFL did this.
Yeah, they were like, we need these guys to win. Overall, I think it was a obviously another successful night. I mean, I could care less about whether or not Taylor Swift is there or not, but we're a society that embraces celebrity. I mean, we've seen it with college football as well, with, you know, who's on the sidelines this week for the Colorado game, you know, which will be here in Arizona. Obviously it'll be another interesting weekend as Coach Prime playing another young, you know, up and coming coach in Kelly Dillingham's squad. So both teams need the win. It'll be a Pac-12 network game, you know, at 3:30. So gonna have to work hard to find it, but it'll be the crowd's supposed to be great for it. So we'll see.
Are you a Swiftie, Rob?
I'm not a Swiftie. Sorry, that's neither is my daughter. So I guess I can, maybe I'm in the minority here, but tip of the cap to that young lady. She's doing great things with her music, and my nieces are big fans.
No surprise. I mean, let's look at some of the numbers. An additional 2 million female viewers tuned into the broadcast. I think, well, from what I can see and what the numbers are telling us, the NFL is laughing all the way to the bank. These are the new eyeballs. Imagine they then announce Taylor Swift is performing at the halftime show. What is it, next year?
In Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. That would be insane. If we look at some of the go on, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking earlier about your AFL, you know, grand finale down there. I'll take the band that opened up that that show over Taylor Swift for a halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Kiss did some damage down under, and we'll get to that later. So some of the stats that were sort of recorded by Front Office Sports is some of the broadcast, the cutaways to Taylor Swift, 17, the commercials for Swift's new movie, 2. A commercial with Travis Kelce in him, 3. A commercial with Patrick Mahomes in him, 2. We're not used to seeing that. It's usually he's the one up the top. And Andy Reid featured in 1 commercial. So what's going on? Tables are turned. Kelce's all the way up the top, and he's getting all the limelight, and it's all happening.
He's in a bunch of different commercials right now. He is utilizing his status as a pitch man, you know, across multiple platforms right now. And look, you know, that's if I'm the ad buyer and I've got Travis Kelce, and you know, I'm trying to push a Taylor Swift movie, show, whatever. You know that audience is tuned into that show, knowing that the Chiefs are playing and she's in the crowd. So it is, you know, high density, you know, advertising right there. So, you know, they're hitting a targeted market, no doubt.
From a numbers perspective, can we put a number on her added value?
Well, I mean, I don't think that you know, there was a price premium. I mean, there's already a premium on Monday Night Football, you know, as it's a standalone broadcast. But what you probably saw was, you know, maybe some ad buys in the first half that you otherwise wouldn't have seen, because I think there was probably the assumption by many advertisers that game was going to be over by halftime. And the fact that they didn't get blown out, and it really kind of came down to the wire, you know, maybe had some premiums for someone to move from a third or fourth quarter up to a you know, a first half position, and maybe swap spots with someone for that, kind of some horse trading amongst advertisers. But you know, I mean, her, you know, where we're seeing her impact obviously is you know, viewership. Obviously, Travis himself is seeing, you know, personally a huge growth in his following, seeing his jersey sales move into the top 5. You know, so obviously the NFL is capitalizing on the royalties of the sales of jerseys, things of that nature. And, you know, by the way, all of a sudden, you know, you've got, you know, heightened interest in, you know, in the Chiefs. You know, not that they're, you know, they already got a solid fan base, obviously, as the defending Super Bowl champs, but now you've not only got that, you know, defending a title, but now you've got this, you know, this, you know, royalty, you know, this is a Charles and Diana kind of thing, you know, this, you know, celebrity, you know, matchmaking thing going on, you know, in the course of the season. So obviously there's a team that's got a focus. It's a sideshow. Clearly, you know, at some point someone, you know, needs to say, hey, Travis, focus needs to be here, brother. We got a title to win. We want another ring. You know, I'm not saying that he's not doing that, but it does. If you remember, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, traveling with the Bulls, it was an absolute sideshow. You know, back when they were going for the three-peat in 96. And, you know, here's, you know, this is a similar type distraction that people are assuming that Taylor Swift is going to show up at every Chiefs game. You know, and, you know, obviously, you know, that, you know, there's guys on that team that aren't dating Taylor Swift and want to just win. Pacheco scores a touchdown and they shoot to Taylor Swift in the suite. He's not dating her. Travis Kelce didn't score. He did. Focus to his mama, not his teammate's girlfriend. So,
exactly.
You know, at some point, you know, we've got to get back to, you know, programming reality and, you know, but, you know, it's entertainment. And as long as it's active and something to be talked about, there are going to be cameras focused on it. So
if we take it. The regular fan or the regular business executive, sports business executive, wouldn't have, like, doesn't really go behind the scenes when it comes to the broadcast world and advertising spots and whatnot. So if you could just explain to us, take us through that whole, how you move advertising spots from the first half to the second half, what price difference there could be in games like this potentially. Is there a huge difference in markup, so on and so on?
Yeah, well, typically when you look at a a broadcast. I mean, and obviously a lot of this broadcast advertising is already booked, you know, by ad agencies during the course of the season for their clients, you know, State Farm and Geico and, Pfizer and all the one, beer companies, et cetera, that you see when you're watching a game. That inventory is sold. That's, sold in 30-second increments. And we always talk about and read about, the Super Bowl ads, going for $6 or $7 million for a 30-second spot because it's one of the most visibly watched events of the year. Monday night football, 30-second spots cost more than, 30-second spots on CBS, during a Sunday because it's one of four games as opposed to the only game. So, at the end of the day, and typically the early positions, the first quarter and second quarter positions of a broadcast cost a little bit more because people will still be tuned in at that point. The game's just starting, and if a team's getting blown out, people are switching off that. If they've got the red zone, they're switching off that channel and going to watch another game, or they're just saying, all right, my team's getting smoked. They head out at halftime and then you'll see, viewership drop. I mean, we've seen that, in some games this year that, where there's blowouts, low ratings. I mean, relatively low ratings. I mean, the NFL is always a strong rating, but for NFL standards, you see them drop. Like I said, from a horse trading standpoint, there's, brands that are aligned with Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes, obviously if Aaron Rodgers were playing, you probably would have seen, Aaron Rodgers related ads, would have been, very involved in this broadcast. There's probably content that, Aaron Rodgers was a spokesperson for this year that he's been moved out of that because he's not playing and they're running ads with other messaging in it. So what you see is kind of that movement of maybe they had bought, a schedule that had throughout the game, maybe a third quarter or fourth quarter ad. The network came to him and said, hey, we've got XYZ company. We'll move to the fourth quarter if you want to move one of your ads up to the first quarter because, you've got Taylor Swift's, movie or you've got her, you're promoting her, the restart of her tour or something. Or, hey, Travis Kelce's got his Pfizer ad or he's got his, he's got three or four. I think he's got a Lowe's ad and some other things that he's working on. So maybe those opportunities were presented to the ad agency. By the network saying, hey, do you want to, kick in another $100,000? We can move you to the first quarter and still be on when the game's close, as opposed to, the assumption was this game might be, 41-7 because Aaron Rodgers is out and Zach Wilson is obviously not Aaron Rodgers. But what we got was another primetime Jets performance and, 23-20 finish and, right down to the wire. And actually, they had some momentum until, the fumbled snap and the turnover and, the Chiefs were able to actually run out the clock, never punted the ball after that. And obviously some fortuitous plays, a long third down run and a pass interference call that kind of ended the game.
Interesting. That's a very interesting insight into the way things work. All right, we'll keep going. Feastables, Mr. Beast's chocolate brand or confectionery brand, it has signed a deal with the Hornets. Really interesting deal. I believe it's a very smart deal on behalf of the Hornets because you pretty much engage Mr. Beast's audience now, which is a much younger audience than what would usually be engaged into the Hornets. So they'll have the prime branding position on the team jerseys. The team includes collaborations on content, digital media, and marketing, which is a big, big deal because Mr. Beast is the most subscribed YouTuber in the world. I think he's got a total of 200 million plus.
Yeah,
subscribers, and
go on. Well, I was saying at some level we've watched Taylor Swift rise up popularity of Travis Kelce and sell his jerseys. Here is a different strategy where you know, you've got a massive influencer in Mr. Beast who has a brand, who's now putting that brand on the Hornets, no longer owned by Michael Jordan. So you don't have that cachet, but now, you know, that, that team has Mr. Beast and his following, you know, promoting, you know, so I, you know, Mr. Beast is going to start doing podcasts wearing a Hornets jersey with his logo on it. And so all of a sudden, you know, you see, you know, this is a huge victory, you know, as the Hornets are actually getting paid for this, you know, exposure. And I'm, you know, not familiar with the terms of the deal, but, you know, the jersey
yeah.
patch, you know, is a $5 to $10 million a year commitment, you know, for most of the teams. Obviously, you know, you've got the teams like the Warriors and the Lakers and the Celtics that are, you know, pushing, you know, up, you know, closer to $20 million a year for their jersey wow. patch deal. But, you know, a team like the Hornets that not competing for playoffs and, you know, other than Michael Jordan, they weren't famous for much of anything. Now, you know, they're relevant for a different reason. Obviously they want to be relevant on the court and win games. But, in the meantime, this helps sells merchandise, brings, like you said, you know, a fan base and an audience globally that follows Mr. Beast. You know, what team do you think he's going to be talking about in the NBA now? One that's got his logo on it. So,
exactly.
You know, that's, yeah. you know, that's playing chess when it comes to, you know, do I take a deal from Eminem Mars or do I do a deal with this massive YouTuber? And, you know, we've seen some similar deals with the Prime hydration drink with, you know, Jake and Logan Paul doing their deals and obviously going head to head with Gatorade, Powerade, you know, so, you know, you can see this celebrity status, you know, kind of changing the game and bringing some challenger brands into, you know, major league sports deals that are, you know, that, you know, again, let's see how this works out. I don't know where I can buy this candy bar, but I'm sure that it'll be available here in the U.S. quite soon. Certainly in Charlotte.
Apparently in Walmart. But this is what,
yeah,
this is the most interesting thing that I found is it replaces a $5 million a year partnership with Charlotte-based digital loan marketplace LendingTree.
LendingTree,
you're going from this traditional finance-based sponsor to a very innovative sponsor in festivals that's going to be it's going to bring a ton of attention from a very different audience base. And I believe there's a ball that plays for the Hornets. Is that correct?
Yes, LaMelo.
Yeah, so look, he's also got a huge name himself. So it sort of goes hand in hand, young audience, young stars. I could see this one working out for him, if I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Oh yeah, look, it's a brilliant play. I mean, look, you know, we've seen the NFL convert, you know, the Jaguars and Falcons game into a Toy Story, you know, anime and Andy's room. I mean, totally different audience, you know, that got up and watched that game for lots of different reasons. You know, so, you know, again, you know, it's just another way to establish and to activate, you know, a younger audience, you know, because at the, you know, at the end of the day, the NBA needs to, you know, backfill and, you know, it's, you know, it's fan base, you know, for the next generation. And there's a lot of, you know, 200 million people follow this guy and consider him relevant and follow what he does. And so
all now, over the world, literally, he's got
channels. Yeah. Yeah. And look, the NBA is a global league. So, yeah. You know, here's an opportunity for the NBA and the team, you know, to do this deal. I mean, obviously, you know, a team like the Lakers or the Warriors probably doesn't need this, right? A team like the Hornets, that, you know, they need this kind of exposure. This is a type of deal that they need to be, you know, think outside the box a little bit. I commend them for doing it. And it'll be an interesting one to follow. You know, does all of a sudden Feastables, you know, move its way into Halloween candy here this Halloween, or, you know, so I don't know. We'll see. We'll go to Walmart and see if they're selling it by the bag.
Mr. Beast is a marketing genius. He's got his channels in multiple languages, in Spanish, in all these different other continents as well. So they're getting, if their deal is to get exposure to all that, that's absolute genius. But anyway, we'll move on. There's been some information that's been leaked about the advertising rates for the Sphere, the MSG Sphere. Apparently, some of the numbers are pretty interesting. We'll go through them, then we'll come back to you because you worked on this project personally. $450,000 for the day, $650,000 for the week. That's cheap. Those prices include working with MSG's 300 plus designers on the creative, and they estimate 4.7 million daily impressions, 300K in person, and 4.4 million on social. Tell us, give us the inside scoop. Let's go.
Well, those are some steep numbers. I have seen a pitch deck that those are numbers that are quoted, but I'm not convinced that those are the numbers they're getting. You can ask all you want and put those numbers out there. I know for a fact that Fox got 7 million a spot last year. There was no doubt that I talked to people that actually wrote the check on that. But I have yet to talk to someone that's written a check for a $450,000, daily ad on the Sphere. But look, you're correct in the fact that it opened this weekend with U2 shows, sold out, for the weekend. Lots of exposure. We've seen, obviously, as leading up to its opening, with the when they had the basketball for the NBA Summer League, and we've seen lots of different versions of the Sphere, showcased, on social media. I mean, they've done a great job of marketing that. Now that it's an operational venue, and you've got the daily shows, and then you've got the U2, residency going on, it's going to be it's going to be a destination. Vegas is obviously a hot destination right now. We've got events every weekend. We had the big fight this weekend. You've got Formula One, coming next month. You've got there's something going on every weekend in that city now. It's a novelty right now. And one that, try to capture as much, as you can, financially on the advertising standpoint. I know that there's some upcoming, sponsorship, discussions, so until this, venue has a naming rights and a series of founding partners associated with it, you kind of look at every day, no different than a ticket in a building. Every day that passes that you don't have advertising on it, that's a perishable inventory. So I would imagine that if 450 is the rate and someone says, I'll give you 200, they're not turning down 200. They're probably not turning down 75. For example, there's a 10% rotational spot on a billboard on the strip, $75,000 a month. That's for 1/10 of the rotation on that sign. So you take that and kind of apply that weekly rate to, a $450,000 daily rate on the Sphere that's not sitting on the strip. Obviously, it's got eyeballs from the eyes and all that kind of stuff. But, I would say that you're safely somewhere between, that $75,000 rate card and, somewhere a little bit lower than 450, but that weekly rate, is probably maybe closer to that 450 than 650. But again, we'll see how this sustains out. I know that there's other conversations that'll be coming down the pike around the naming rights to this to that venue. So let's kind of watch it. See how much branding continues on it and less smiley faces and eyeballs that we've seen, kind of capture our attention, all of which, have been cool and unique, but those haven't been ad dollars. That's been showcasing the technology and the capabilities. So I would imagine there's some very creative conversations going on as it relates to brands that are considering this as an advertising opportunity. a very targeted one for in that realm. So, you know, in those cases, I don't see, you know, those numbers being achieved, but there might be somebody out there that pays it on a one-off basis because they got something fairly unique, but especially around like Formula One and things like that. But as a daily, you know, on a Monday in Vegas, I don't see $450K being dropped for an ad.
The thing is with this, with the Sphere is that it's the online aspect that I think adds all that value, because every time they put something up, it just goes viral. So the potential for something to go viral by being placed on there is very high, especially if your creative is there. But yeah, I mean, that they have to pay off the $2.3 billion somehow, right? So it's sure. Got to be.
Oh yeah, no, I mean it, and right and right now, you know, U2's packing that place, so they're, you know, they're filling it, but you know, they're making their money on their on their concessions and parking and you know, little markup on the tickets, but U2's not coming for cheap, and the $49 a ticket to sit in there and see the you know, how the earth was created is not not filling the house.
I would love to host the boxing day. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Imagine the replay of a knockout. It'd be kind of cool in that building.
It'll be on the outside.
You'd actually feel it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They might even spray some water on you so you feel like you got the splatter.
Exactly. So imagine hosting the fights in there, and then during fights having old classics playing. It'd be unbelievable. The atmosphere would be insane.
You know who's already thinking about it, right?
Who's that? Dana.
I bet you our man Dana White's already said that's a pretty good fixture for an octagon in there. We could light this place up.
How many people's a fit?
20,000.
Perfect.
Oh yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. He'll be in there very soon then.
All right. I bet, and Money Mayweather is probably going to do an exhibition in there. That's my guess.
Yeah, he needs to move on in life, but anyway. Apple, very interested in Formula One. Reportedly, they're creating a $2 billion per year offer for the global streaming rights. Apparently, it's an offer that they cannot refuse. What are your thoughts? I mean, we've seen a lot of the resurgence of Formula One via these Netflix series that have come back and, you know, and spread the sport, take people behind the scenes and shown things that we never used to see. That's built a following. Formula One goes to Apple. What happens to all that content and all that series? Does it come with it?
Yeah, I would think it's a content play, obviously, for that show to find a new home. But two, you know, Apple is kind of flexing some muscles right now on the success of this MLS deal around Messi. You know, they've gotten some, you know, obviously they've got their Major League Baseball, you know, element as well. So I think they feel that their sports platform is successful right now. And, you know, Formula One, I mean, not a lot of people, you know, if I'm ESPN, you know, I don't know how, you know, got to see what the numbers are, but ESPN's kind of, you know, shifting away from, to a more, you know, a different, controlled content, you know, opportunity here. So, you know, maybe Formula One and Apple is the right fit because, you know, that's a global opportunity, a chance for them to leverage, you know, subscribers, you know, around the world, tie in interesting, you know, Apple related, you know, music and things like that around Formula One. That they were, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's, you know, Formula One is obviously known for high tech. Apple is a company that is moving towards, you know, more, you know, high tech, devices, you know, across the board. What no better way to kind of showcase and highlight your advanced technology than partnering with probably the most highly technical league in the world. So there's a lot of synergies there.
Yeah. And especially because Apple's got a billion users around the world. And Formula One is in so many countries, different time zones. So it's hard for a US network to come out and give them so much money or invest so much money in them because the time zones will, you know, it's hard to get those powerful slots like, you know, Sunday night, Saturday night, Friday night, Monday night, where this will be playing at all times of the evening, you know.
Right.
Middle of the day, in the morning, so on, so on. So it makes a lot of sense for Apple because they're a global platform. But others, I'm not sure. But we'll definitely follow that story and see how things play out.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of Vegas, we had a big boxing event over the weekend, soured by some interesting news. So PBC, Premier Boxing Champions, held an event, Canelo Alvarez versus Jermell Charlo, Texas boy versus a Mexican Ranga, who's an absolute beast, one of the greatest fighters of our time, some would say. And they sold out the T-Mobile Arena. It wasn't much of a fight. Charlo, you can tell, was in there to just survive and get paid. Reports are Canelo Alvarez will make about $40 to $50 million. Plenty of alcohol sponsors on his shorts and pushing the night. And it was a great night altogether. But then there was news that PBC and Showtime are parting ways. What was once looked at as a very strong relationship, unbreakable, is now one that's come to an end. And I think the pivotal part of that relationship was Floyd Mayweather. He used to have the big fights, the big arenas, the big pay-per-view, millions of people buying pay-per-view. They're all big dollars. They were big dollars for Showtime. That's not there anymore. So our good old friend Al Heyman needs to go find a new network, a broadcast network, and it's going to be an interesting search because when PBC first came into the world, I think it was 2016 or 15, they bought up all the networks from NBC to Spike to Fox, everywhere, and then they cut the fat and stuck with Fox for a few years, but Showtime was always in the background as the pay-per-view provider, and then Fox came into the fold, and now everyone's gone.
Well, yeah, no, and now are you looking at, you know, do we see, you know, Amazon and Apple getting in the fight game, you know, as new content, and certainly, you know, Canelo's got a following, but to your point, boxing in general right now is the championships are sitting, you know, internationally for a lot of the top fighters, certainly the heavyweight fighters, you know, with Fury and Usyk, you know, being, you know, international fighters. You know, we don't have a top ranked, you know, American heavyweight, you know, outside of Wilder, and he's obviously been in the ring twice with Fury and failed, and you know, so potentially there's a, you know, and now, and we've talked about this. We're now seeing, you know, Saudi Arabia and the UAE in general getting very active in the fight game, you know, to bring, you know, top boxing matches over there, but also top UFC and MMA related programming to their marketplace. So and when you're over there, then you're in a time zone conversation. You know what used to be great Friday night fights or Saturday night pay-per-view is I'm not getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning to watch, you know, some of these fights. Sorry. I mean, and
boxing has no boundaries. Boxing has no boundaries.
Right.
Wherever the money is, they're there.
Yeah. And again, you know, and look, part of the boxing, you know, side of this is, you know, being there in person. I mean, like, if there's a fight in Riyadh, I'd rather go to it than try to, you know, organize my time around and watch it at 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, I'd rather kind of be there. I mean, it's a cool place to watch a fight. So is Vegas, though.
Watch a fight.
I think your conversation or your, you know, your idea that, you know, are we going to see, you know, other events outside of concerts take place in some place like the Sphere, then, you know, that's a venue that they're going to build one of those in London. They're going to build one of those in the UAE. So those, you know, do we see that, you know, as a opportunity in the future? And maybe there is a naming rights partner that gets on that venue and has something to do with how that building is programmed for events like that in the future, because certainly the experience in that place is incredible. I can only imagine what a broadcast out of there looks like.
Yeah, I think their only hope is the Zone. In my opinion, they've already got Matchroom, Eddie Hearn and whatnot there. The only thing that they might clash on is that them and Eddie Hearn don't get along too well. ESPN might also take a look. Don't know. Yeah. They're already in that game. But again, there's Rob. If ESPN took on the deal, it would be good for the sport, because now that rivalry between the promotions and being on different cable network dies, and now we can finally get to see some good matchups.
Yeah, so, well, hopefully. No more ducking.
All right. That brings us to the end of our show. Sorry about the noise. We've got a construction site happening. It's been crazy.
Sponsored by Home Depot this week. Yeah. Do it yourself.
Always selling. All right, everyone. Thank you very much, Rob. Awesome show. As always, do you have any parting words for us?
Well, you know, I think as we talked last week, I was heading into North Carolina looking for two wins. I came home with one, as my Blue Devils did fall late to Notre Dame, but the Bellarmine Knights did come away with a critical 3 points on a goal in the final 4 seconds. Looking forward to another week of the world of soccer, as we're starting to see the Champions League kick off. Saw a fantastic match today in Napoli with Real Madrid coming out on top 3-2. So, you know, it, again, we're at that exciting time of the year. We're starting to see, the football programming. I saw a note today that from now until Thanksgiving, after this weekend, we will have football on every night of the week, both college and pro. So
50 days straight.
That's right. So yeah, 50 days straight of football. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, my friend, but over here, that's a big damn deal. So look forward to catching up next week. Hopefully we're talking about another Bellarmine win. Again, the world of sport keeps giving us wonderful things to talk about. And I can only imagine what that surprise is going to be here in the next week before we chat again.
There you go. All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Take care. We'll catch you all next week. See you, everyone. Goodbye.
See you.